Thank you, Paul. Wonderful. Good evening, everybody. Good evening. So nice seeing my double. It's really, really such a joy to be here together with all of you and just to continue with our journey of living missional lives, living salty lives, living lives of being able to love the world the way God loves it, and for us to be able to influence people wherever we go as His ambassadors. This evening I'm continuing with part two, but before I move there, I'd just like us to reflect for a moment on part one. How many of you from since Sunday have discovered some new aspects of Jesus doing your Jesus alphabet? Does anyone guess what did you have? He's the vine. Wonderful. Was there some insight that you had from that? Remaining in the vine and everything comes from him. That's wonderful. That's really cool to hear. Excellent. Some other ones? Some other aspects? Wonderful. The author and perfecter of your faith. And how did that speak to you? I beg your pardon? Okay. Absolutely. Very cool. Excellent. Any other ones? Can I encourage you to continue on that journey? And you find that, whoa, I'm sorry, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Can I encourage you, as you begin to journey, discovering who God is and knowing Him, from that position, He becomes so much more real. For myself this morning, I said, Jesus, who do you want to speak to me about? And I was just reminded that in Mark chapter 6, when Jesus was in the synagogue, the Bible says He taught, and the people were amazed at the wisdom with which He spoke and the miracles that He performed. And then they made the statement, the religious leaders made the statement, isn't He a carpenter, the son of Mary? And they even left out Joseph. But just the aspect of Jesus being a carpenter, I paused and I reflected. And I said, Jesus, talk to me. And I just sensed Him saying, Wally, on the third day of creation, I made every tree, seed-bearing tree. Every tree I give life and breath to. And then I worked with trees in my father's carpentry shop. The very trees that I made and created, I made things from them. I was actually a blue-collar worker. And then there was actually a tree that I made and created that I was going to be nailed to. And for a moment, I just paused and I thought, wow, I've just had a new take on Jesus being the carpenter, not only of the trees, but of my life, fashioning, shaping it into what He's destined and created it. Can I encourage you to go on that journey? A little bit further down, I saw a comical side of it where they said this, that Jesus, His brothers, and it lists a whole lot of guys, Joseph and Simon, etc., and Jesus had sisters. Did you know that? Jesus wasn't an only child. You read in Mark chapter 6, and I could imagine Jesus' brothers going to Mary and saying, Jesus is bossy, He thinks He's God. Think about that for a moment. I could imagine Him saying, I actually am. You see, and as you begin to dig into Scripture, it just becomes so much more real, and Jesus becomes more real to you. And as you live in intimacy and deep relationship with Him, it flows out from you. Remember, I mentioned being a witness is an overflow of your own personal love relationship with Jesus. It's a love relationship He's called us into. And if I could just connect you with Jesus and for you to deepen your relationship with Him, Everything else flows from that. I would like just to briefly show you the wedding pictures of my two darling daughters. If you wouldn't mind just showing, there's Carla Ann, and one of my proudest moments, walking down the aisle with her. And as she was walking down, she was looking at the people and sort of little wave and a little smile. It was her big day. And I want you to look at her hubby, Brad. Look at him. He was leaning forward. He was just so amped to see her. And then Laurel, our younger daughter, walking her down the aisle. And then the picture of her hubby, Nick, is he just burst into tears when he saw her. And as I was reflecting on the pictures after we got them back from the photographer, I sensed the Lord saying, Wally, as a heavenly groom, I don't take my eyes off my bride, my church. As revealed in these pictures, Brad was leaning forward looking at Carla, and Nick just had his eyes riveted on Laurel. Jesus said, I never take my eyes off my bride. Would you help my bride to have their eyes fixed on me? And this Jesus alphabet will help you to keep him in focus in all the seasons of your life, that you can deepen your relationship and the overflow will spill onto others. Please salt yourselves daily with the knowledge of who he is. It becomes the place of worship and the place of devotion to him. This evening, for us to be on the same page and journey together, I would like to speak to you about the salty gospel and how we need to have a clear understanding of the salty gospel that we're called to preach. Now, this evening, I can just give you a smidgen of it. That's one of my younger daughter's favorite words, smidgen. Everything's a smidgen. And I could just give you the tip of an iceberg. But as you begin to explore it in the Bible, your heart will just be enlarged with the vastness of the glory and the greatness of the gospel that he has entrusted to us to share with the world. To share with the world. Now, the greatness of this gospel is phenomenal. It's revealed in the unconditional love that Jesus demonstrated when he gave his life for us. Its greatness of the gospel was revealed in the magnitude of the plan. When Adam sinned, God already set in motion and gave a promise to Adam that there would be the seed of a woman that would crush the serpent's head. So right from the beginning in Genesis and then culminating with Jesus, there was this amazing plan of salvation that began to unfold through the prophets. The person of Jesus, the scope of the invitation, the blessings, the benefits, and equally the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity is not complicated. It's so beautiful that everybody can understand it. And if we have the gospel crystal clear in our hearts, it will be so much more easier to communicate with others. The gospel, in essence, is a relational gospel. It's a relational gospel. Not just theory, and it's not just theological, it's relational. We've been wired by God for relationship. It's a salty gospel. I say it's not a sour gospel or a sweet gospel. It's a salty gospel. The other night I was engaging with people and we had the Jesus alphabet. And I said, please tell me some. And you know, some had the author of life, Jesus above all, etc., etc. And one guy said, no, God is a demanding God. And I thought, I'm sure I heard wrong. So I said, please tell me more. He said, no, God's a demanding God. He's given us commandments and we've got to obey them. And it was just, it came through. I thought, whoa. And I said, from my understanding of Scripture, God is a loving Father. He is a loving Father. And the Bible is not a book of commands and rules. It's a love book. It's a love relationship book. And as we deepen our relationship with him, his spirit on within us leads us to obey his commandments, not because I have to or I must, it's because I want to. See the difference? It's a massive difference. And can I encourage you, is the gospel we bring to people needs to be a gospel of God so loved, and it's a relationship gospel, and when you're in relationship, you live to please, you live to love Him. I don't do anything because I have to, I do it because I want to. Because I want to bring joy and pleasure to my Father's heart. In Matthew 24, Jesus speaks about all the different signs concerning the ends of the age. But in verse 14, he speaks about the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a sign, and then the end will come. Can I say it's the gospel of the kingdom of God? Because it's only that gospel that will bring Christ-like transformation. Can I say to you, one of our greatest witnesses in the world today is when we reflect Christ. I said last time that we're being called to be as ambassadors, reflecting and representing Him, not sales reps trying to peddle a program or a set of rules. And I believe if that's something that grips your heart, that's the most important. Nobody wants to have a list of rules and regulations, because if we start ticking off enough boxes, we can get prideful and just think how good we are and how well we're doing. It's not, it's all about a love relationship with Him. The gospel of the kingdom is about Jesus, who wants to be King, Lord, ruler, owner over every single area of our lives. One of my C's in my Jesus alphabet is that Jesus needs to be the center of all things. See, a lot of people have Jesus as an attachment to their lives, not central in their lives. A lot of people I engage with, I believe in Jesus. I go to church now and again. I do read my Bible, but I say, is He Lord? Is He central? Who's on the throne in your life, Jesus or you? Do you do your own thing and then, just pray a little prayer and ask Jesus to bless it? No, everything needs to come through Him. Remember Jesus, center, in the middle. Remember He died and was crucified in the middle, and a thief on either side. In the book of Revelations, it speaks about Him as the Lamb seated on the throne, surrounded in the middle, surrounded by worshiping angels. Jesus needs to be in the center. He needs to be first and foremost. I tell people that Jesus needs to be so first in your life, second doesn't even show or feature. You know, a lot of Christians, you have to have a photo finish to see, is Jesus first? But Jesus needs to be so first and so foremost, second, there's not even a place, he doesn't even show in the picture. And we need to help people for Jesus to be Lord in their emotions, Lord in their relationships, Lord in their sexuality, Lord in their time, Lord in their finances, Lord in every area of your life. And it's a continual yielding and surrendering to His Lordship. And when you do, He causes all things to come into divine alignment. Can I urge and encourage you as young people, when you're engaging with people, emphasize God's love, His delight and joy of them, but the aspect of relationship, and He needs to be first and foremost. He needs to be preeminent. And when that begins to happen, everything takes care of itself. The problem is a lot of people rather enjoy the benefits and the blessings of the gospel, but they're not focused on the person who died for those blessings and benefits. You know, Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. But often we say, Lord, bless my soul, instead of bless the Lord, O my soul. We get it the wrong way around. I do believe all the blessings are there, but they're not there to be pursued. They come when He's first and foremost. Are you with me this evening? Can I encourage you? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15 says, He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him. But for Him. All earthly kings demand submission and reverence to them. Jesus wants it to come voluntarily from our own lives. And when it's done voluntarily out of, yes, Jesus, I bow my knee, I bow my heart, I bow my life to your lordship, rulership, and ownership in and over all things, there comes a deeper connection. Can I encourage you, wherever you are in life, there's always a deeper place of surrender and yieldedness to him. Even where we are in our lives, Shirley and I, after having handed over Life Changes Church, having started it 18 years ago, handing over, and now our future, it can be daunting at times, not leading a church. And we have to say, Jesus, you are the Ancient of Days. You were there before time, and you're there after time. Our future is minuscule, but you've got it all under control. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's all facets, all areas of our life, is entrusting it to him. What I'd like to do is share with you six simple truths from the word gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L. And from that, I like to call it your spiritual first aid kit. Your spiritual first aid kit. And if you can just make notes and then reflect on it and ponder it and say, Jesus, make this real to me. He is so gracious and so kind, he does. And then for you to come to the place of being able to explain the gospel in 60 seconds in a simple manner and way. It's an amazing exercise that I do in numbers of different churches. And I found the longer you've been a Christian, and the more theologically understanding you have, the more difficult it is for people to simply explain the gospel in 60 seconds. I remember Shirley was in a group in a church, and she was in the mix with a couple of elders, and they had it theologically perfectly waxed and put together. But then I said, would a person that's unsaved even understand what you're saying to them? And in reality, they didn't. So we've got to often rewind and make it as simple and clear as possible. See, the gospel is all about God and his passionate love for people. If you knew how deeply in love God is with people, even though they've turned their back on him, he still pursues them. He still runs after prodigals. His heart breaks over the pain that he sees each and every single day. I'm sure you've read about those 17 young people that were killed today in that shooting at that school in Florida. Another gun shooting incident in America. His heart breaks when he sees people's lives taken and broken and shattered. In the book of Samuel, it says he has no delight or pleasure in the death of anyone. Because as long as we got life and breath, we can have a relationship with him and come to know him. God still is so passionate. If you remember, I used this as an example on Sunday, how we called to be salt containers of the gospel. But the salt can only come out when it's tipped upside down. Our lives need to be tipped upside down. A number of years ago, a lady in our church gave me this beautiful salt cellar. It's a salt and pepper, but the beautiful thing about it is it's a hugging salt cellar. God still wants to hug and love each and every person on this planet. The 7 billion people on this planet, each and every one of them, he knows deeply, personally, and intimately, and he wants a relationship with them. When you can begin to paint that picture in people's hearts that God is not mad with them, God is not angry with them. Yes, his heart is saddened and broken, but it's not that he doesn't want to embrace and love. God is not a distant, impersonal, but he's a close God. I remember a couple of years ago, we as a church were having an art exhibition in one of the malls that we have close by to us. And the artists had their sculptures and art pieces on display, end of the month, busy. And the artists were there explaining to people why they did what they did. And it was just a wonderful time of engaging with our community. And I always look around and I say, Jesus, you live in me. Who would you like to say hello to and for me just to engage with? And I saw at Mug and Bean, there was just a gentleman sitting on his own at a table just having coffee. And I just looked at him and I thought, I need to go talk to him. And I know the greater one lives on the inside of me. And I'll be talking about salty boldness. Not brashness, boldness. Heaven's courage on the inside. And no, folks won't decline a warm hello, how are you? And I went up to him and I said, hello, my name's Wally. And if I recall, he said his name's Brian. I said, Brian, how are you doing? Are you waiting for somebody? Can I join you? So he said, I'm not waiting for anybody. You can join me. I said, can I buy you a slice of cake? He says, no, just coffee's cool. And I said to him, what do you think about this art? So he says, that's okay. And I says, he said to me, well, where are they from? Who are they? So I said, no, they're from a church down the road. I said, they're from Life Changers Church. He said, that church. He said, I want nothing to do with that church. I said, I've got no time for that church. I thought, oh dear, something's happened here. And sort of inside, I thought, I pressed a button. So I said, Brian, tell me, why am I sensing that you are angry, annoyed, a little hostile towards the church around the corner? Have you ever visited? He said, no, 4 years ago, I was going through a crisis, a divorce. And I phoned that church and I asked for help and nobody responded. Nobody phoned back, nobody was on. And therefore I've got no time for that church, no time for nothing. And then I'm beginning to see two and two of how come I felt led to him. I said to him, Brian, believe it or not, I'm actually the pastor of that church. He says, no, you're kidding. I said, I promise you. 4 years ago, I recall back, my secretary herself was going through a divorce. And the challenges that she was having, she just had a massive meltdown. And a lot of phone calls and a lot of emails and a lot of stuff that I should have received, I never got. And I never, ever got your message to call you. However, from my heart, I want to apologize that you feel the way you do about the church. And from my side, please forgive me. I said, you know how much God loves you that he sent me out of this whole crowd to have a coffee with you, to be able to apologize to you that you could rethink God and church. And we left at such a sweet moment, and that was God demonstrating his love for him. Because the brokenness in his heart that he experienced, Jesus wanted to heal. I don't know what he's done in the future. He never visited us. But at least I was able to change his mind and apologize and say sorry. And he could clearly see of all the people I could have gone to, hundreds of others, but it was him. And I said, it was Jesus trying to reach out to you again. Can I say God's heart is reaching out? Pray for those families in America that have lost their kids. Tonight there are weeping parents, weeping grannies, weeping uncles. When there's loss, people are more open to hear about eternal things. Pray for them. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10, in the Living Bible, it says, once you were less than nothing, but now you're God's very, very own. And our lives are being changed by his kindness. Can I encourage you, when you and I reflect him and live out the God who lives on the inside of us, everything changes. Everything changes. The gospel is the most beautiful thing, where God became a man so we might become as he is. God is interested in every facet in and about us. The O in gospel is how our sins have separated us from him. And I never want to minimize it, but I don't want to overly focus on it, because sin causes the heartache and the pain in this world. It separates us from having intimacy in a relationship with him. But the beautiful thing is that just as sin disconnects us from God, Jesus Christ, and through his death on the cross and us putting faith in him, reconnects us to him. To me, the most beautiful, exciting moments in my life is to see people that surrender all to Jesus, and the darkness in their eyes becomes a sparkle. The sadness is lifted and there comes joy. I say to people that, to me, in a hospital, the most exciting place is the maternity ward, where moms are giving birth to little babies and new life is coming. And when you hear the cry of the spiritual newborn, there's nothing more beautiful than that. To see people coming to faith in Jesus and their lives turning around. The S in gospel is our sin cannot be removed by good deeds. And often religion tries to portray this. And can I say to you, there's scriptures up there for you just to take note of. It clearly says in Ephesians chapter 2 that it's by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your doing. It's a gift from God. And when people realize it's a gift, they cannot earn it, they don't deserve it, they don't merit it, it's just because He so loves us. And when we receive that gift by faith, everything changes. Titus chapter 3, it says, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us not because of righteous things we've done, but because of His mercy. When we can paint a picture to people, it's all of God reaching out to us, and then it's us saying yes to Him. I just started kayak fishing off the Natal coast, and I've been out about 8 times. I was a YouTube expert. I've watched, I don't know how many. My wife says she was actually getting tired of me just watching them all. I had caught every fish in the ocean, watching it and in my mind and everything. And whenever I go to the beach, I'm looking for these guys paddling out there. And we were at Umhlanga Beach, and the waves are just too rough for me to go out. I've got a bit of wisdom because I got dumped horribly the first time I went out. I was still washing out sand from my ears and my everywhere. And so I saw this particular young guy coming in after he'd been fishing out in the deep. And as he came in, he got pummeled by some waves that he rolled. He was out of this canoe. Fortunately, he had a life jacket. But he got caught in a rip current and his kayak went out. He was battling and I was watching. And I thought to myself, this guy's in serious trouble. So I ran to the lifeguards on the other side. I said, guys, please come. I'm sure this guy's in big trouble. So the lifeguards came, looked, and he was well. Eventually, the lifeguards dived in and rescued him. And another guy swam out, got his kayak, and he just sat on the beach trembling, shaking. He lost his paddle, and it was quite a messy. I helped him carry his kayak to his car. And I got chatting with him. Claude was his name. And I said, Claude, you know, I was watching you and I observed the whole thing. He was just so grateful and appreciative. And I said, Claude, you know, 40 years almost to the day at this very beach, I was sucked out in a rip current. And lifeguards came and had to rescue me. You've had the same experience I had when I was about 13, 14. When I was 18, I said, I had another person save and rescue me, Jesus, from my sin. And I was sharing with him the whole gospel. We're just sitting there on the beach. It was just such a sweet moment and able to encourage him and just share the gospel out of an incident that happened to him, but a greater thing that could have happened when he says yes to Christ. He didn't surrender his life, but he heard it all. And he had a life experience of just being rescued, and I don't think he's ever going to forget it. I've got his cell number, now just keep in touch with him. Do you see, there's things that happen that you never know when and how, but you need to be ready to be able to share the gospel. You need to be able to present it in such a way it gets people thinking. And when there's moments of nearness to death, people start thinking about life after death. The P is the price has been paid in full by Jesus. Can I say, when people try to think it's their good deeds that get them to heaven, I say to them, it's exactly the same as trying to climb Everest with a t-shirt and slops. It's impossible. It's impossible. At base one, you'd freeze to death if you had slops and a t-shirt on. The coldness. And that's what religion tries to do. You can do enough to save yourself absolute impossibility. We need to know Jesus paid it all, and it's for you and I to believe that with all of our heart. The E in gospel is everyone who trusts in Jesus alone can experience a life-changing relationship with Him. And I always want to emphasize the relationship, because that's what it's about. It's walking and talking and enjoying intimacy with Him. It's getting to know His character. And I know your mission statement as a church is knowing Him and making Him known. You cannot make a person known if you don't personally know them yourself. We've had sales reps from time to time. When you go into a shop and they want to sell us this, and we say, well, what about this? What about this? Then they say, you know, it's my second day on the job. And you can see they really don't know their product. And we want to equip every believer to be able to share the gospel in a way that it makes sense to the hearers, but your own life is testimony and evidence to that as well. Then lastly, the L in gospel is that eternal life starts now. There's an assurance of salvation, that you know that you're saved, that you belong to Him, that you're His child. Now what I'd like to do too is I'm going to show you a little clip in the moment that a particular rap artist put together in a beautiful way that I could never in a gazillion lifetimes get anywhere close to that. And we're going to play it in a moment that sums up the gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L. But what I'd like to do is another format that I've had that has helped me when I'm chatting with people and sharing the gospel is I use the alphabet. And I say to folks, if you really want to know Jesus Christ and live in a relationship that is sweet, rewarding, fulfilling, and satisfying, you need to acknowledge that you're a sinner. You need to acknowledge that you're lost and you need a Savior. You need to acknowledge that. If you cannot acknowledge that, you cannot be saved. The B is you've got to believe in Jesus Christ with all of your heart. I say to people, it's 100% or nothing. I say to people, imagine a couple getting married and the person says, I will commit to you 99%. Do you think that's a marriage worth going through with? No, not at all. Imagine the guy or the lady saying to their fiancé, you know what, 364 days, I'm fully devoted to you, but one day, I don't want you to ask any questions. Do you think this should go through with the marriage? Not at all. It's all or nothing. It's 100%, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Likewise, that's what a commitment to Christ is. It's got to be with all your heart. That's believing. Then there's the confessing Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. As couples at the altar have to say, I do take you as my personal, as my wife and husband. Likewise, Jesus, I do take you as my Lord, owner, master. Then the D is daily live for Him. Serving Jesus is not a Sunday affair. It's 24/7. It's living for Him. I live to please Him. Can I encourage you as young, live to please Him. Live to honor Him. Eternal life is yours in Christ. And you can go to the F where He becomes your Father and there is forgiveness found in Him and Him alone. And you can continue with that. Can I encourage you as young people and folk here this evening is begin to go through and see how you could put together the gospel in 60 seconds in your small groups and then help shape it with one another to make sure that you're not overemphasizing one truth over another, but in its simplicity is that God so loves you and He wants to be your Father. He wants to have an intimate, real relationship with you. But the problem is sin. And sin is universal. It's in our hearts when we were born. There's nothing we can do about it. But we need a spiritual heart transplant that can only take place through a surrender to Jesus and making Him Lord number one. of turning from our sin and turning to Him, we receive forgiveness and we receive Him as our personal Lord. And new life enters, eternal life, forgiveness. And it's the beginning of the rest of your life. Something like that. It varies. Every person will say it a little different. But begin to go through it. And as you prepare yourself and ready yourself, the Lord can lead you to people that need to hear that truth. They need to hear that truth. Possibly if you've heard me share this with you, but I remember the very first time that I had to share the gospel in 60 seconds. It was the very first church I pastored when I was in Stanger. And there was a lady called Kathy and her husband Keith. She was a nurse on the sugar estate called Gledow. And he was unsaved and an alcoholic. And she invited me around for dinner. Now we're sitting having dinner and Keith started feeling not well. And Kathy said, Yana, you've been drinking too much and whatever. And they started having a little domestic. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, what do we do here? And the next minute, Keith just falls, boom, on the floor, clutching his heart. Now I'm thinking, gee, whiskers, this has gone from little tense to serious. So she's a medical nurse, so she knows what's happening. And she's sort of pounding and knocking and phoning and, you know, and I'm saying, Keith, you need to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. And he's gasping. And I said, Keith, you need to say, Jesus, I'm so sorry for leaving you out of my life. And I led him in a simple 4 or 5 line prayer. And then the Gledow ambulance came, rushed him off, went to visit him the next day in hospital. He made an amazing recovery. But that night on the floor, when he said yes to Jesus, that was the beginning of a whole brand new life. That night was the last time he ever drank any alcohol. Was I expecting that? Absolutely not. See, I have to be ready with spiritual first aid. Might have told you about Dion. Do you remember Dion Buerta? Leonie? Dion. In Vryheid. He ended up being our youth pastor with Kevin and Dion. And it ended up one afternoon we'd been praying and fasting. I get a phone call. And it was a wrong number. And before he hung up the phone, I said, what are you doing with your life? He says, no, I'm in matric now. I'm going to finish matric and then I'm going abroad. I don't want to go to the army. I'm going to skip the country and I'm just going to have a job. Then I'm going to come back and then we're going to see what happens there. And I said, Dion, before you do that, can I just share with you something? And I shared the gospel in 60 seconds with him. That's it. Left it there with him. And I said, Dion, if you want to know more, I live at number 12 Tamburti Street. You can come around if you want to know more. It was about 2 or 3 hours later, there's a knock on my door. And guess who was there? Dion. I had the privilege of leading him to the Lord. And he became our youth pastor. And he's been going for God ever since. I chatted with him about 2 weeks ago. Still serving Jesus with all of his heart. It started off with a wrong number. But I was ready to share the gospel in 60 seconds. See, you never know when you've got a friend that's in a crisis where their life is falling apart. It's often those crossroad moments to be able to share with them how God has a greater plan and a purpose. All the mess in our life, God can turn it around for the good if we put Him at the center and Him first and foremost. I remember Mark Schmidt is his name. Some of you might have heard me share the story, but just again to remind you of being able to have the gospel ready in 60 seconds, because you never know when and how. He was a guy that was a sales rep for Sundance Pools, who sold us a pool when we lived in Cape Town and Blouberg. And when he came around, he wants to sell us a pool, so he puts his best foot forward and just always, you know, wanting me to sign on the dotted line. And he asked me, what do I do? And so I said, well, I'm actually a pastor. So he says, well, I'm an atheist. So I said, that's interesting. How long have you been an atheist for? And he shared with me, and we chatted, and we talked. And I said to him, Mark, so one day when you die and you're going to be buried and thrown in the grave, No prayers, no Bible readings, no song of praise, no hymn, no nothing. Just a man who was and is no more. So he looked a bit stunned when I told him that. So I said, Mark, can I share with you the gospel? And I told him the gospel in 60 seconds, and that was that. We parted ways, they put in the pool, we were happy, and that was that. 5 years later, I get this frantic phone call, Wally, I've got to see you now. I said, so well, who's that? He says, Mark. I said, I know a few Marks. Mark who? He says, the Mark that sold you the pool. And I thought, whoa, I remember clearly now. I said, Mark, what happened? He said, a heart attack. And he said this interesting thing to me. He said, Wally, when I was having that heart attack, everything you said to me flooded up into my heart and my mind. And he says, if I'm alive after this heart attack, I'm going to see Wally. He came around to my house the next morning. I shared the gospel, made sure he fully understood it, and he reflected it back to me. He understood it. I said, Mark, do you want to accept Jesus first and foremost? He said, yes, yes, yes. So I had the privilege of praying with him, made the commitment to Christ, and the coolest thing of all, I baptized him in the pool he sold me. I have had so many opportunities to share faith in airplanes, in the back of buses when we're traveling abroad, here, there, and everywhere. Can I encourage you to share the gospel with one another that you can sharpen your sickle? Remember the sickle, ready for the harvest? That we could be ready to share that. Write it out. Help one another to begin to process it, that you can do it in such a way that people say, yes, that's what I'm after. I don't want religion. I want relationship. I really want to know Jesus. I don't want to go to church. I want to know Jesus. The byproduct of being connected to Jesus is you want to join a family called the church. You want to. You really want to. What I'd like to do is I'd like to show you this little clip of the gospel in 4 minutes. This guy beautifully puts it together. And then afterwards, I'm going to give you some practical aspects of living out this gospel. And then we're going to conclude in the next 5 to 7 minutes. Is that all right, Paul? Cool.
It's the full story of life crushed into 4 minutes. The entirety of humanity in the palm of your hand, crushed into one sentence. Listen, it's intense, right? God, our sins, paying everyone life. The greatest story ever told that's hardly ever told. God. Yes?
Yes.
God, the maker and giver of life. And by life, I mean any and all manner and substance, seen and unseen, what can and can't be touched, thoughts, image, emotions, love, atoms, and oceans. God. All of it is handiwork, one of which is masterpiece, made so uniquely that angels look curiously. The one thing in creation that was made with his imagery, the concept so cold. It's the reason I stay bold, how God breathed in a man and he became a living soul. Formed with the intent of being infinitely, intimately fond. Creator and creation held an eternal bond. And it was placed in perfect paradise till something went wrong. A species got deceived and started lusting for his job. An odd list of complaints as if the system ain't working. And used that same breath he graciously gave us to curse him. And that sin seed spread through our soul's genome. And by nature of your nature, your species, you participated in the mutiny. Our, yes, our sins. It's nature inherited. Black in the human heart, it was over before it started. Deceived from day one and led away by our own lust. There's not a religion in the world that doesn't agree that something's wrong with us. The question is, what is it? And how do we fix it? Are we eternally separated from a God that may or may not have existed? But that's another subject. Let's keep grinding. Besides, trying to prove God is like deep in a lion, homie. It don't need your help. Just unlock the cage. Let's move on how our debt can be paid. Short and sweet. The problem is sin. Yes, sin. It's a cancer, an asthma, choking out our life force, forcing separation from a perfect and holy God. And the only way to get back is to get back to perfection. But silly us, trying to pass the course of life without referring to a syllabus. This is us. Keep up your good deeds. Chant, pray, meditate. But all of that, of course, is spraying cologne on a corpse. Or you could choose to ignore it as if something don't stink. It's like stepping in dog poop and refusing to wipe your shoe. But all of that ends with how good is good enough. Take your silly list of good deeds and line them up against perfection. Good luck. That's life past your pay grade. The cost of your soul, you ain't got a big enough piggy bank. But you could give it a shot. But I suggest you throw away the list, because even your good acts are an extension of your selfishness. But here's where it gets interesting. I hope you're closely listening. Please don't get it twisted. It's what makes our faith unique. Here's what God says is part A of the gospel. You can't fix yourself. Quit trying. It's impossible. Sin brings death. Give God his breath back. You owe him. Eternally separated. And the only way to fix it is someone die in your place. And that someone gotta be perfect. Or the payment ain't permanent. So if and when you find a perfect person, get him or her to willingly trade their perfection for your sin and death in. Clearly, since the only one that can meet God's criteria is God, God sent himself as Jesus to pay the cost for us. His righteousness, his death, functions as payment. Yes, payment. Wrote a check with his life, but at the resurrection we all cheered, because that means the check cleared. Pierced feet, pierced hands, blood-stained son of man, fullness, forgiveness, free passage into the promised land. That same breath that God breathed into us, God gave up to redeem us. And anyone and everyone, and by everyone I mean everyone, who puts their faith and trust in him, and him alone, can stand in full confidence of God's forgiveness. And here's what the promise is, that you are guaranteed full access to return to perfect unity by simply believing in Christ and Christ alone. You are receiving life. Yes, life. This is the gospel. God, our sins, paying everyone life.
How beautiful is that? How amazing is that? What I'd like us to do is, Paul had asked the moms with the little ones, I want to say thank you for being here this evening. Appreciate the effort that it takes to be here with your families. Feel free to be released to go home. And then those that are able to, I think it would be so cool if we could get into groups of no more than three. And just share with one another, firstly, when did you personally accept the gospel and make Jesus Lord of your life? Just go around, and after you've said it was a year ago or 6 months ago or 3 years or 5 years, pause and celebrate with one another that momentous moment when you crossed over from death into life. And then after that, why don't you help one another script the gospel in 60 seconds and write it out in your notebook, so that you become competent. I don't want to just offload information. I'm wanting you to process it, because our heart has been to equip each and every one of you for the mission field of everyday life and living. And even if you just help somebody to see that the picture of God in their mind is not a biblical one, but you can plant a seed of him being a loving father, not an angry God, you're shifting them in the right direction. Could I ask you to get into groups of three and just go around? And if somebody says, I haven't yet made that wholehearted decision, say to them, would you like to tonight? And then pray together, share with them. And how cool would it be if somebody this evening, for the first time, wholeheartedly says yes to Jesus? And then begin to write out the gospel in 60 seconds. Remember, your audience are going to be those that don't know what you know. So you've got to explain it to them in a very simple manner and way. Can we do that? For the next 10 minutes. And then I'd like one or two just to come and read it, that we can celebrate that you, wow, you can see it. It's real. You understand it. And then we're going to close in prayer. Amen. Could get into groups of three. I trust this exercise was helpful for you. We had such a cool chat and discussion, and I got saved again. Can I encourage you? Were there some cool things that you discovered in sharing with one another? Who would like to come and just share the gospel in a nutshell in 60 seconds? Is there anybody that would like to do that? Great. Hey, go for it. That's so cool.
So the way that I've not been taught, but I went on a SCAS mission trip where we got a Living Ball Band, which is an organization that shares Jesus through sport and stuff. And the Hein was the main guy behind it. And so what it was is four colors. It's green, black, red, and white. And the colors just helped out all together. And it was green for God made everything, no matter what it was, God made it. Black was a separation between us two causing the darkness. The red was Jesus dying on the cross and his blood for us. And then the white, like just being made pure again. So that's just how simple colors can just put in order for you.
That's cool. Could you add that to your list as well? Thank you for sharing that. You know, there's a number of different ways, but for you to be comfortable, and this is how we do it, and you'll be amazed at how the Lord will begin to lead you and guide you. And even if you're in res with other fellow believers, why don't you share the gospel with one another and help one another that it's clear, that it's crisp, that you understand it, that you can communicate it. Who else would like to share? Anybody else? Amanda, would you like to? You didn't get to just start. Would you like to give us the start bit? Then somebody else, you can nominate to finish it. How's that sound? Yes, you can start it.
I think one of the most important things was helping somebody to first realize that God knows them personally. So asking something around, do you know that God knows you? Do you know that God loves you? And then quite soon after that, acknowledging that they are not united with God. And I don't really know how you say that necessarily without accusing someone, but I think people who are separate from God know that they are. So you just need to uncover that, and then I think they are more open. I can nominate someone. Amanda.
That was easy. I always think that it's, or I find it important to remind people that God is a loving, compassionate God, because I found that a lot of people believe, they believe that He's a wrathful, angry God, and that He will punish them, and that's why they don't really want to think about Him or connect with Him. So just to reshape that picture of God, that He cares about us, and yeah.
Thank you so much. Because religion paints a distorted picture of who God is, and that's why we need to have a clear picture of who He is, that we can communicate that to them. Yes. I love the boldness.
It's growing. Cool.
My husband said I can only talk if I sit in front of the class. So recently we've been challenged with this thing as well, and a lot of people challenging the existence of God. And on our path specifically, I recently just listened to a book by audio book. Thanks, Bates, for introducing me to Audible. An audiobook from Nabil Qureshi, the devotion of a devout Muslim seeking Allah, finding Jesus. And he had a Christian friend that walked a 4-year journey with him, called David Wood. And only after 4 years he committed his life to Christ, because he had to investigate the validity of the cross and the existence of God. And David asked him a question along this journey. And at that point, when he asked that question, it was going to be like the point where he would either stop, depending on how he answered this engagement, because he was worried that it was just debates. And he asked him, if Christianity is true, would you want to know it? And depending on whether he said yes or no, he would have continued that relationship. But I think the authenticity of Christianity is an incredible point to start, and for people to really examine the facts historically, and for us as Christians to understand it, and really read up on it as well, to be able to talk to people from a purely historical perspective, which later then turns it into, well, if it's true, then what? And yeah, so that's just the base of a conversation. Yeah.
Thank you. Amen. Great. This evening, I want to close, but can I ask you to please process what I've been sharing with you? On Sunday, it would be really, really cool if we started off worship with 3 or 4 people coming and saying, this week in my Jesus alphabet, this is what really spoke to me about who Jesus is. Imagine that. And then from that, we could just launch into worshiping our great King. How cool would it be at the end of the service if somebody said, Wally, could I just share the gospel in 60 seconds? How it's changed my life. And you share it. And then I'd say, is there anybody out here that would want to like to surrender their all to Jesus? And they say, yes, I'd like to. See, I wanted to equip each and every one of you to be competent and be able to engage with others and look for those real seekers and be able to engage and share with them and encourage them. Different materials, those 4 balls, great. And there's a myriad of different other ways. But please, in your hearts and in your mind, God wants you to be equipped for the great harvest that He's wanting to bring. And if we can become harvesters, it can be so exciting. I'd love to pray together with you. Could you stand, please? Father, thank you for each and every person here this evening. Thank you that, Holy Spirit, you'd make the gospel crystal clear in every heart and every life. Father, I pray for a deep conviction of what the gospel is and what it isn't. And Father, I pray as they live in the gospel and they live out the gospel, Lord, people's lives will be touched and changed by you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you again, everybody, to applaud the sound men. I saw them from 5:30 this afternoon, setting up and getting it all together. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate the effort that you've put in, that the moms in the mom's room could have sound and TV and et cetera, et cetera. They've put great efforts. I want to say thank you. Lord bless you. See you Sunday morning.